Welcome to Torah Timecha, Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Shira Shaiwitz, and today we'll be studying Sefer Zechariah, Perek Gimel, Chapter 3. So we find ourselves in the middle of the visions of Zechariah, and these visions came to encourage B'nai Israel in a time of hardship, but also a time of great potential. Just if you remember, they've come back to Jerusalem after 70 years of exile to build the second Beit HaMikdash, but it's not what they thought. It's not the way that they pictured redemption. They're small group, the economy's poor, they're ruled by the Persian Empire, and it's just not what they dreamed when they pictured what life would be like when they returned to Israel. So Zechariah's visions express the great potential of this time period. Now, so far, we've seen three visions. The first in Perek Aleph, the end of Perek Aleph, was the vision of the fiery horses galloping through Jerusalem, and Zechariah prophesies the fall of the foreign kingdoms that currently reign supreme. The second is the vision of the destruction of the battering horns that destroy Jerusalem. And the third, which happens to be my favorite, is the disruption of the Malach, who's coming to measure Jerusalem. And he's told, nope, Jerusalem can't be measured because it will one day be bursting with people and with life. Okay, so now we're up to the central vision of Zechariah, which is Perek Gimel and Perek Daled, chapter 3 and chapter 4. And this vision actually will be followed by another three visions. Now, these two chapters and also the end of chapter 2 are the Haftorah of Shabbat Chanukah. So we'll talk more about that, why this Haftorah in particular is chosen when we do Perek Daled. Okay, now this vision is different than the others. There's a bunch of different reasons. We'll mention that as we read through. Pasuk Aleph. Vayireni et Yoshua, Kohen Gadol, Omed Lifnei Malach Hashem. So the vision is about Yoshua, the Kohen Gadol. And if we remember, he was one of the leaders. We mentioned him in when we did Haggai. He's coming back. He's operating as the Kohen Gadol. There's no Beit HaMikdash there because Haggai actually is coming to tell them, rebuild the Beit HaMikdash, as is Zechariah. So that's not done yet. But they have a Mizbeach. So they are operating with the altar. So we come in the middle of the action. Sounds like there's a court case, and Yoshua, the Kohen Gadol, is being prosecuted by the Satan. Pasuk Bet. Vayomar Hashem al Satan. So Hashem now steps in and speaks to the Satan. Yigar Hashem b'cha ha-Satan. V'yigar Hashem b'cha b'cheh b'Yerushalayim. Haloza ud mitzalmi eish. When Hashem, I'm angry at you, Satan, because I've chosen Yerushalayim. And why? Because they are like a firebrand who has been saved from the fire. Now, we have a lot of questions when we get up to this point of the story. Why is Yoshua the Kohen Gadol being prosecuted? What does it mean to be an Ud Mutzal Me'ish and a firebrand that's saved from the fire? And why is that a defense against the Satan? So let's continue. And as we continue, we'll find out more. Pasuk Gimel. V'Yoshua haya lavush begadim tzoim. The Omeid Lifnei HaMalach. Yoshua was wearing dirty clothing, and he was standing before the Malach, before the angel. Vayan vayomer ela omdim lefanav limor hasiru habigadim atzoi me'alav. So the Malach says to all the people who are standing before him, take off these dirty clothes from him. Vayomer elav re'ei ha'avarti me'alecha avonecha v'halbeish otcha machaltzot. So he says, you see, I've taken away from you your avon, your sin, and I'm dressing you in the robes of the Kohen. And then in Pasuk Hey, Zechariah steps in and says, Va'omar, and I said, Yasimu tznif tahor rosho. Put also like the headgear of the Kohen Gadol, that is tahor, that's pure, on his head. Va'yasimu hatznif hatahor rosho, va'yabishuhu bigadim. So they put that on his head, and also they dressed him in this clothing. U'malach Hashem omid, and the Malach of Hashem was standing. Now, this is different than some of the earlier visions. First of all, the fact that Yoshua Kohen Gadol is someone that we know and we've heard about as a historical figure, it makes it easier to picture what's happening here. Also, Zechariah has no dialogue with the Malach. And we'll see this come back, by the way, in the next parak. But usually Zechariah asks, what's happening? Can you explain? Then the Malach explains. In this vision, Zechariah doesn't need any explanation. And it's because he's not just seeing something. He's a part of it, right? He was the one who said, he shouldn't just be wearing the clothing, put the headgear on him also. So Coming back to our question, though, what's going on here? Why is Yeshua being prosecuted at all by the Satan? And what actually is his defense? Now, generally, we assume that if the Satan is prosecuting someone, there's a reason for that prosecution. And Rashi goes along with this line of reasoning. And Rashi says Yeshua is being prosecuted for the personal sins of his family. And Rashi explains that the children of Yeshua were married to foreign women, which was a problem at the time. And he cites from Sefer Ezra that it actually says that the children of the Kohanim were married to foreign women. And he specifically says the children of Yeshua. So Rashi says, this is the sin of Yeshua. Then the removal of the clothing, the dirty clothing, is also a mandate to Yeshua that, A, this won't be held against him, but B, to make sure that he will separate his children from the foreign wives. Ibn Ezra has a different approach. And Ibn Ezra says, no, the Satan here is not like the theological prosecutor of Yeshua and what he did wrong. The Satan represents the foreign enemies. So we know from the time of Ezra also that when the Jews tried to build the Beit HaMikdash, they were continually stopped by the local population who would send letters back to Persia and say, you have to stop them, they're not loyal to you. And they made things very, very difficult for them. So the removal of the dirty clothing is a removal of all the foreign oppression that keeps making them stop and start and hinders them in the building of the Beit HaMikdash. A little bit of a different take, also thinking that this is representative of something happening on a national level, Dr. Yonatan Grossman says that it also isn't a sin, and it's also not the oppression of the foreign nations, but he says the Satan represents the disappointment of Bnei Israel because they're looking at their building of Bayit Sheni, the second temple, and they're looking at Jerusalem and they're saying, is this really it? He had a great way of phrasing this. And he said, they're kind of like, come on, we're tired of always hearing about the Hitchalta de Geula. You're always telling us that, oh, this is the beginning of redemption. The people are disappointed. They want to see redemption itself already. Now, why is the Satan quieted? So, and also let's just expand that. It's not just that the Satan is quieted. It's much more. But Yeshua is like built up afterwards. He's redressed in the big day kuna, the special clothing of the Kohen Gadol. He returns to be a Kohen. And even more than that, actually, if you look at the next two psukim, Vav and Zion, in Vav, verse 6, Vayaad Malach Hashem Yoshua Lemor. So now the Malach Hashem, the angel, steps up and says to Yoshua, Ko Amar Hashem Tzvakot, so says Hashem, Im Bidarchai Telech, Ve'imet Mishmarti Tishmor, if you follow in my ways and follow all my laws, Gam Atah Tadin Et Beiti, Gam Tishmor Et Chatzerai, you'll judge my house, you'll watch my chatzer, my building, my courtyard, my Beit HaMikdash, Ve'natati Lecha Mahalchim Bein Ha'omdim Ha'ela, and I will give you the opportunity to walk with all those who are standing here. Now, who's standing here? Those are all the angels. So essentially, Malach Hashem is telling Yeshua, you will not only be a Kohen, but ultimately, you will be like an angel. And by the way, Dr. Yonatan Grossman also points out that in the beginning, Yehoshua was standing before the Malach Hashem. And now there's like a reversal. We ended these psukim by saying that the Malach Hashem is standing before Yehoshua. So it's not just that Yehoshua survived the court case or was acquitted, but he's actually was built up afterwards. So we want to understand why. And this is all because Hashem said that he was an Ud Mitzal Me'esh, a firebrand saved from the fire. So what does that mean? So Rashi explains that the fact that he was saved from the fire, right? Why did Hashem say he was a firebrand saved from the fire in order to defend him? He's trying to say, since he was saved from the fire, that proves that he's a worthy person. And the Gemara in Sanhedrin, actually I'm not sure if that one is in Sanhedrin, the Gemara quotes that he was thrown into the fire, that Yeshua actually was thrown into the fire by the Babylonians, and he survived. So that's the proof that's brought here that he has worthiness. And that's still following that idea of Rashi that we're discussing the personal sins of Yeshua. But Ibn Ezra, if you remember, saw this as a global challenge, a global struggle that the people were suffering from. And he said that being an Ud Mitzal Me'esh is not about Yeshua, but it's about the whole generation. And he said, well, what is the characteristic? Like, what? How would we describe this particular generation? And he said, this generation, this door, they're not perfect, right? There is what to criticize, because when actually is there anybody or any group that's not, you know, that's above criticism? But there is something unique about this generation, and that it's that this generation is a generation of survivors. And Hashem is turning to the Satan and he's saying, this generation has survived so much. Are you really going to be prosecuting them? So he's saved in this view. Yeshua and the whole community is saved from the Satan, not because they're zakai, because they're pure or because they're fully worthy, but because they survived trauma. And they still, remember, these are the people who opted to come back even after the exile and then settling themselves in Babylonia and then Persia. And then ultimately these same people made the decision to come back. And Hashem says, really, you're going to prosecute these people? And the Navi then follows with another message to Yeshua. And this is the end of the parak in Pasuk Chet. Shmana Yeshua HaKohen Gadol. So listen, Yeshua Kohen Gadol. This is verse 8. Ata berecha hayoshvim lefanecha, you and also all those who are surrounding you. Ki anshei mofet hima, they are people of sign. They are people of distinction, and they will be a sign. Ki hinani mevi et abdi tzemach. That Hashem says, I will bring my servant who is like a flowering branch. Okay, so who is the servant who's a flowering branch? So we know that throughout Tanakh, and you might remember some of the references, that the flowering branch is a metaphor that's often used for the Malchut of Beit David. It's the kingship of the house of David. And Zerubbabel himself, later in Zechariah, who is the political leader at the time, is called a tzemach. He's called this flowering branch. So the message now to Yeshua, after his kahuna has been reinstated, his stature has been reinstated, hope has been given back, the message that he's given now is that the kahuna, the priesthood, and the malchut and the kingship, they have to go hand in hand. We need both. And the parak closes, pasuk tet, ki hinei ha'evan asher natati lifnei Yeshua al evan achat shevayinayim. So there's his note that this stone, I'm placed it before Yeshua. It's a single stone and it has seven eyes on it. Hinani mifateach petucha ne'um Hashem tzvakot. So I'm going to execute its engraving. This is what Hashem says. And I'm going to remove their guilt in a single day. Okay, so what is this? All of a sudden we have this idea of a stone being placed before Yeshua. So what is this stone? So most of the Mefarshim think that this must have been the stone that was the cornerstone of the building of the Beit HaMikdash. That was a big struggle at the time. Like, should they go forward with the building of the Beit HaMikdash? So perhaps this stone was the cornerstone. Dr. Yonatan Grossman, who we mentioned before, says that we should interpret the stone differently in light of this whole prophecy. And he said the stone is actually the stones of the Choshen, the stones of the breastplate. And Yeshua, this is another way that Yeshua has continued to be dressed as the Kohen Gadol, which fits in with the way that the clothing and the headpiece were put on him before. But why didn't he get these stones when he got all the other garments of Kahuna? And so he suggests that these stones, if you remember in the breastplate that the Kohen wears, these stones represented all of Am Yisrael. They represented all of the Jewish people. But he can only wear this beged, this specific item of leadership, once the political leadership is united with the religious leadership. You really need both in order to lead Am Yisrael. And the vision closes. So on that day, once there is peace and there is stability and there is unity, then people will be able to sit under their trees, under their under the vines of their grape tree and under their fig trees. Then finally, there will be peace. Okay, so to review, the central nivuot of Zechariah, this is the center of his visions, and Zechariah is active in this vision. We entered a court case. Yoshua, the Kohen Gadol, is being prosecuted. Hashem defended Yoshua as being an Ud Mutzal Me'esh, a firebrand saved from the fire. And he's once again dressed in the Big Day Akuna, the clothing, the garment of the Kohen Gadol. Ultimately, Yoshua will not only be a Kohen, but he will be an angel and he will be active in the flourishing of Zerubbabel, the political leadership, which we'll talk about more next time. We asked, is Yoshua being prosecuted for his own sins, or does the Satan represent the difficulties of the time period, the forces stopping the people from building the Mikdash, or even Bnei Israel's own doubts? Could this really be redemption? And the dressing of Yoshua, Kohen Gadol, is a response that yes, Yoshua is worthy, and this is the time period. You need to look past all the hardships and see all the potential. And as we've mentioned many times before, Geula doesn't always look like we expect it to. And Hashem's response to the Satan, where he says so movingly, Haloza ud mutzal me'esh, a firebrand saved, this is a firebrand saved from the fire, can also be interpreted as it's either a personal defense of Yoshua or a defense of the entire generation. Look at these people, they survived, they were exiled, they went through a sreifa, a burning, and they came back to rebuild. What could be a more worthy generation? I grew up certainly with the sreifa of the Holocaust in the background, and what could be a more special generation? The survivors who went through the worst suffering, and they kept going. Some of them went and built up Eretz Yisrael. Some of them built up the community in America. Some built up their own families, and many, despite having seen the very worst of humanity, still got out of bed the next morning and faced the next day. In our day, we've seen another sreifa, that of October 7th, and we remember those who were killed, and we stand literally in awe of those who survived, those who were taken hostage, including those who have been freed and those who are still in captivity. The peace people are Ud Mutzal Me'esh. They're saved from the fire, and there is no, notice this, in this vision, the Malach was really, was on the side. Hashem was the one who stood up and said, these people are untouchable. They're our center, they're our lifeline, they're our inspiration, and they are the secret of our survival. And may we see a full Yeshua for Am Yisrael and the return of all the hostages in our day. Bekarov. Thank you for studying together, Le'iloi Nishmat, Gilbert Carcenti, Menachem Mendel, Ben Saud.